All right, welcome back to the Tool World Podcast. I'm your host, David Ju, and I'm here with Master Ju.
Hello there, Mr. Ju.
Nice. Hello, hello.
Cloudy day.
Yeah, another cloudy day here. All right, this week, I kind of had a couple questions. It kind of stemmed from three-step sparring. And then maybe from there, we'll go into like techniques that you might see in other styles of martial art, which would be like WT, but you don't really see in Taekwondo. But let's go ahead and start in three-step sparring. So my question was that when we do three-step sparring at our studio, we typically try to follow the same techniques that you utilize at that rink.
Right.
Right. So for us, we start three-step sparring up until green stripe.
Right.
Right. And so we take the techniques from the green stripe pattern.
Right.
Or not green, up to the green stripe pattern, right?
So you don't do a you don't do a two-directional kick.
No, three-step sparring. That's an interesting idea though. You could have two three-step sparring at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. Anyways. That's a topic for another day. But in ITF, a lot of times we do things like mid-side block with the outer form. Mid-side block with the inner form, right?
Because you see that a lot, right? Guarding block with the outer form.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't see a lot of, like, the inward block.
No.
Right? But, you know, if you look at WT, I think that shows up in their first Pumse.
Right.
And so, what is the difference between these blocks? And is this considered, like, a more difficult block? Because I think the first time you see that's in Chung Mu.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the most exciting topic. No one ever wants to talk about step sparring. I get it. I think I did a seminar one time on step sparring, and I think they're like, oh, really? We have to go through that? Okay. And I did a class recently on step sparring. Someone says, oh, yeah, we never even understood what the why you step forward, what that measurement idea you just did.
Yeah. Like, and I was there, I was like, oh my God, I can't listen to this.
Not this again.
So yeah.
Yeah, so that's really quite interesting because when you look at these techniques like beginning three-step sparring, that is in the book, and it says it's in a walking stance, and it's a mid-side block. And so you have to understand all these ideas about what types of blocks you have. Mm-hmm. You have mid-side blocks, front blocks, rising blocks, you know, pressing blocks, low blocks, whatever, low-side blocks. And but they are executed differently because, and that may be something that maybe instructors don't talk about as much, kind of like that step sparring kind of idea.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if occasionally I do cover it, but I don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of this is theoretical, right?
Yeah.
And it's a lot about discussion. And I think a lot of, you know, when you just got students just want to work out, they're happy just to do burpees and push-ups. Why do I want to sit here and listen to this idea about outer forearm block and inner forearm block and how the directions go in and out?
I don't think most people really care. Kids don't care,
yeah,
for
kids
sure.
Kids don't care. Know. It's only a certain people, maybe the person that's watching this.
Yeah, I know exactly. This is whoever's watching this probably cares.
Or listening to it.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, you're right. We don't anyway. So we have this in beginning three-step sparring. It's a mid-side block with the outer forearm, but it also
inner forearm.
Inner forearm. But it's performed in an outward motion versus an inward motion. So if I'm using the inner form, it's got to go away from their solar plexus, and that's what makes it an outward block, right? Mm-hmm. And if it comes from the outside going towards your solar plexus, that's what we call an inward block,
right?
So you have inward block and outward block. You also have inside blocking and outside blocking. So now what I just said is kind of like you get like a five-year-old white belt and go, what the heck are you talking about? Inside block, inward block, outside block? Outward block, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, it's basically the same technique, right? I can do a inward block with the outer form. I can also do an outward block with an outer form.
Right.
And there are both side blocks. And so they end up being in the same place. It's just the way you deliver it. So is that a more difficult technique? Does it mean that a black stripe? That's when you first see that inward type of movement. Is that the only time you start doing that? That's kind of like saying, well, when do you start flying kicks. When does that happen?
Well, we start on the first day. Sometimes you get the guests come in and
they're like, what?
Jumping up and down. But they're like having fun, you know. Yeah. But when do you do it in the rank? I don't know.
Well, in the patterns.
Oh, the pattern,
right? It doesn't show up until like Chumu.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if you want to follow that idea, then that means the next 2, 3, 4 years, mm-hmm. you're not doing any of that skill. And then when you get to Chungmu, you're expected to jump up and kick.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
I guess that leads me to another thought, now that you've kind of brought that up. And it's the thought about doing patterns that aren't your rank. Because now you're talking about, well, for a flying kick, you should be practicing that up until, and so that when you get to Chungmu, it's going to be okay, at least. Right?
Right.
You can't just jump straight into it. And right. I do know that some countries, they like to learn all 24 patterns. And right. so you might have a 8-year-old who's doing like...
Tong Il. Right. And they did it pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your thoughts on that?
Ooh. Well, my thoughts are these patterns are designed for new techniques that are to be introduced, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if some people are able to master that mm-hmm. or right away because there's so many other things to be worked on.
Right.
Especially as a white belt. I mean, let's just talk about white belts, I guess.
Right.
You can't really expect them to jump up and spin around because they haven't done that.
Right.
But you can start working on how to move towards your back. And that's where Chen Qi comes in. Mm-hmm. How you move towards your back. They're starting to learn how to do that. And so it is a development process. Sometimes you do have students that are, you know, athletically gifted or mm-hmm. gifted, I guess, I don't know. And they can do certain things without having done taekwondo, right?
Right.
So they can kind of do that. But in the book, does it ever talk about, in the encyclopedia, does it ever say that this technique is for this rank or this technique is for this rank?
Well, maybe, because wouldn't it be under the testing?
When you look at, well, okay.
You know, they have a section of like, oh, what do you get tested on?
Right, but if I'm opening up the book and you go to the kicking section, you get all these stuff. I didn't go to the testing section. I just go. But the testing section is kind of like, for me anyway, it's like, okay, that white belt can do a flying back kick and he does it better than my black belt, right?
Sad, but yes.
It can happen. And so do you go, okay, but, you know, he's only testing for yellow stripe. What are the requirements? The requirements is this. He doesn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is when he gets to that point where he needs to perform that technique and he's required to break boards at, you know, let's say first degree, and he's got to break 3 or 4 boards, and mm-hmm. he's got to do a flying back kick. He's been doing it for a while. Is it going to be pretty good? Yeah, probably going to be pretty good. Right. So testing requirements are maybe different than what we might learn. If a middle schooler could read a college textbook, is it okay? Well, he can read it.
Well, yeah.
He might not understand it.
He might be gifted.
He might be
gifted.
Which
I guess would be same in Taekwondo, right?
Right.
If they can do it.
Why would you prevent someone? Mm. If I had a college textbook on my table and an 8-year-old picked it up and started reading it and says, do you understand that? No, but I'm just reading it. Would you stop him?
No.
No. Why should it be that way in Taekwondo? Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. that I think in general.
Most people can't do that.
And then it's like, you know what? 24 patterns for an 8-year-old? It's hard for me to learn all of those.
I don't know about you.
You
know, it's okay. It's still okay for me.
That's because you're young.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it just mm-hmm. kind of comes mm-hmm. down to that. Right. There's so many things out there that we have to learn.
Right. My idea is that, you know, if you learn it earlier, especially then you're able to work on the techniques. And so that if you, like, let's say you need to go to competition and you know you're going to be the next rank, you're going to already have like an extra year or two under your belt so that you're going to be a little bit step ahead.
Yeah.
And then if you just jump Absolutely. Straight into it, right?
I mean, we do get our white belts to start jumping.
Yeah,
right. So that they keep working on it. By then, they really need to do it. Yeah.
Then they'll be like pretty good at it.
Hopefully, they'll be pretty good at it.
Right. All right. Anyways, we'll wrap it up there. Let us know you guys' thoughts on learning new things earlier than you probably should. Right. I think that's kind of what we talked a little bit about today, touched upon. As always, don't forget to be safe.
Keep training.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Take one.